We had just fulfilled a capital campaign of $5 million in Oklahoma City and built this beautiful structure there for the homeless. It's a little state-of-the-art building and campus of care there in Oklahoma City. And so he called me and wanted to go have lunch. We went to have lunch, and in the car, he said, I need to take something. And I said, okay, I'm all ears. He said, stay small. He said, this is incredible ministry. It's going great. He said, you will be an effective leader as long as you remain humble, as long as you stay small. It's not about you. It's about them. It's about your staff. It's about the clients. It's never about you. And to hear him say that, this owner, this billion-dollar corporation, was very important to me and just encouraged me that, don't ever think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Stay small and always remember. And, of course, in my business of caring for the homeless and the poor, it really hit home with me. It's always about them. Mm-hmm. It's never about you. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very valuable lesson.
Excellent. What toughest decision you had to make?
The toughest decision I had to make was, I tell you, the toughest decision that I did make was when I left City Rescue Mission in Oklahoma City. And when I took the job at City Rescue Mission, I was pastoring a church. And I was on the board, and they asked me to be the interim. And so I said that I would do that for 2 or 3 years, and I'd go back to pastoring. And so I did that for 10 years. I just fell in love with that. And then I then went back to pastoring, and that was the toughest decision that I made. I don't think it was a wrong decision, but it helped me understand my own desire. Raised in church ministry, and my dad's a pastor. I've been involved in pastoral ministry all my life, and so I did this and then went back to pastoring. And going back to that just helped me solidify everything in my heart and mind that, I love church ministry. It's an incredible part of my life, and it's a very important role. But what I really feel that I am called to do, and where I really feel my sweet spot is really developing organizational leadership around caring for the marginalized, the poor, and the hurting. And so then to leave the pastoral ministry for the last time and go back into working with the poor and the hurting, and coming to Nashville to do that was one of the great days of my life recently.
Hey, if I can jump in for a second, this is Tom. I got a couple of messages in online from the webcast that we had an audio problem with the first few minutes of the call. That appears to be corrected. Don't know if that was a Comcast issue or not, but we recorded the whole phone call, so it'll be available on playback tomorrow. And, Joe, I think you're back on the line. Can you hear me?
I am back on the line.
Excellent. Glad to have you again. Just had a couple of maybe internet difficulties there with the phone system, but we're back up and running now. So, Mary, I'll turn it back over.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell me, what leadership lessons have you learned? What are those things that you wish you had known 20 years ago?
Well,
you probably wouldn't have listened.
I probably would not have listened. Really, honestly, leaders are always, and you say this at Scarlet Leadership, and it's one of the mantras I see on the wall whenever our staff comes in, but it is so true. Leaders are always on stage, and that's a lesson that every leader needs to know. Mm-hmm. And when you understand it doesn't mean you're always performing, but it means if you're in your office, if you're walking down the hall, if you're at Chick-fil-A for lunch, if you're at Walmart with your wife, if you're in Sunday morning Sunday school class with whoever, that you are a leader. And there is an expectation of that, and you are always being looked at as a leader, and you don't get to take that jacket off and say, I'm only a leader when I'm at the office. I'm only in that mode. You are always a leader on stage, and there is a responsibility that comes with that, and you need to understand. I needed to understand that. And so that's a lesson that I needed to learn, and a valuable lesson for me. And it's one that I'll always remember. And so when I see that up here on the wall, it just registers home with me. Here's another one You should be a no secrets leader.
Right.
You should be a no secrets leader. And so it goes right in line with communication. Communicate, communicate, communicate. One of the things about leadership is you probably need somebody in your life to tell you, you know what, you over communicate. Then you can know you're doing well.
That's right. If you think you're over communicating, you're probably just about getting it right.
Right. So communication, and that's part of the no secrets leader. And hopefully, you know, I have people around me that I encourage them, come in and ask me questions. And if I'm not clear, I may think that I've said that. I may think that I've made that crystal clear. I may think that I've shared that with the staff. But if that's not registering, come in and let me know and help me, because I want to be a good communication and I want to be a no secrets kind of leader. And I learned that in church ministry. You know, one of my problems when I was pastoring, delivering a sermon, and I would share a sermon, you know, from my heart and just pour that out. And then a week later, somebody would say something, you know, it'd be nice if we heard something about such and such. And I was like, man, I just did that.
I just did that.
But, you know.
And you were there. I saw you.
Exactly.
You weren't listening.
Exactly. But, you know, until we communicate it several times.
Right.
And everybody has their own means whereby to receive that. But you need to communicate that several times and continually communicate so that people receive that well. But, yeah, be a no-secrets leader.
Right. Joe, anything to add on any of those?
Yes. Being a no-secrets leader is very important, and it's counterintuitive because so many leaders think, well, I don't have to tell him that because he doesn't need to know or she doesn't need to know. And I think it's important for us as leaders, assuming that matches with the culture of your organization, is to keep talking about the fact that we're a no-secrets company, we're a no-secrets organization. So the people really, they hear you saying it, because so many companies don't do it, and particularly private companies. So many private companies keep everything quiet and secretive. And if you share with people and you keep no secrets, the people that work for you will help you achieve your goals, because they'll know exactly where you're going and what the obstacles are. So the more you share, the more effective you can be as a leader. Plus, the more people will respect you. And the more secrets you keep, the less they will respect you.
Exactly.
Right, and the more you share, then the more trust you develop, and nothing moves a company's objectives faster than trust, in my opinion. So when they trust the leadership all across the board of the organization because of communication and because of no secrets, then decision-making, objectives, and all the things that you're trying to accomplish, in my view, happens a lot quicker because of the trust that you've established.
Joe, have any comments about leaders always being on stage?
That's just essential, because you, no matter where you are, you are representative of your business, your family, your church, your community, your whatever. You're representative, and people look up to you. And if you go to a restaurant and act like a jerk and give a waitress a hard time, people are going to see that and hear it. And the other hand, if you set the right example by holding the door for somebody when they, you know, do the right thing, people see that too, and they talk about it. And the further up the ladder you go, the more people talk about you, and you want to have people talking about you in a positive way, not a negative way.
Right. They're going to talk one way or the other. Okay. What advice do you have for those of our listeners who are on a leadership path themselves?
Be a student of leadership. Read leaders. Read. And there's no magic. I mean, there's so many books, so many things out there about leadership, but be a student of leadership. Read as much as you can. Tremendous authors, and there's not a short supply of that. And so you read about that. And find a mentor. Find someone that can speak into your life and speak plainly and clearly, somebody that you respect, somebody that you trust, somebody that you know will tell you maybe things that are hard to say to you. But find that kind of person that can really speak to you and speak into your life. And like I said, just be a student and read and study all the things that you can about leadership. And the third thing I would say is find somebody then that you can mentor. Mm-hmm. And so you're finding somebody to mentor you, but then find somebody that you can invest in. Find somebody that you can mentor. And as you're learning and as you're developing your leadership skills, then there's somebody that you're passing along that legacy of leadership. You're passing along the things that you learn, and then they can do the same things. But that's what I would say. Just incredible that you would read, that you learn, and find a mentor.
Yeah, and I think when you are mentoring someone else yourself, you it keeps things in perspective in your head about leadership. You have to know it to teach it.
Well, it does, and it also challenges you because many times in, you know, in working with staff, I will share with them things that I know that are right about leadership, and I think, well, wait a minute, I've got to hone that up in my own life.
Exactly.
I'm one of those do the same not as I do kind of guys. Okay, I need to work on this.
Right.
I need to work on that myself. I know this is right. I'm going to share this with you. And then in sharing that, I realize, well, I need to spend some time on that myself. So, yeah, good
point.
It's
good. It makes it and keeps it front of mind for us. Joe, you have a comment?
I have a number of comments here. I think you're right on target about being a student of leadership. And it's, you know, you talk about reading books. That's certainly very important. And a little piece of inside advice there. Don't read the same author twice because typically they're saying the same thing. But another big part of this whole process of learning, becoming a student of business, is networking with other people and talking to your peers and just, you know, get out there. You'd be amazed that if you just call somebody, you don't know them, and say, hey, you know, I'd like to buy you lunch someday and learn a little bit about what you're doing because I have great respect for you. I've heard about you or, you know, I met you somewhere. And just network around because you will wind up learning so much from other people, and you will wind up in some ways mentoring that person or that person mentoring you, and there's no limit to what you can do. You've probably heard me say this many times before if you've been on these calls, but if you're sitting at your desk every day, brown bagging it for lunch, you're missing opportunities to get to meet and talk with other people. So take advantage of those opportunities. Get out there and meet people. Meet them in your business, outside your business, anywhere you can. That's one of the key ways of learning, and that's one of the processes of being a student of leadership.
One of the, if I just add to that, and I appreciate that, Joe, you're so right. Another incredibly priceless, valuable lesson that I've learned about leadership, and this comes from mentors as well, is surround yourself with people. And don't be afraid to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. That was pretty easy for me. But that are smarter than you, that are more talented than you, and that surround yourself with stars. And that's very important as a leader. Typically, as leaders, if we're not careful, we're going to surround ourselves with people that we think aren't quite as developed as we are, so that that's kind of human nature.
They're not a threat.
They're not a threat, right. But if you can surround yourselves that are smarter, wiser than you, then that would be better. And a great leader in Oklahoma City gave me this counsel. At the time, I was 35 years old, and I went to him and said, I need some help, and I wanted to develop my leadership skills at this mission called City Rescue Mission. He said, I was 35. He said, hire people older than you, smarter than you, and wiser than you, and they will help you achieve your goals and vision. He said, now when you get to be 50, which I am now, he said, then hire people younger than you. but surrounding yourselves and not being intimidated by people that are gifted and people that are strong and really utilizing their talent and their skill and their giftedness in those areas. So surround yourself with stars. That's very important.
And it's not just surrounding yourself with great people, but talk to those people and ask questions and learn from them. Don't just make it casual conversation. Say, okay, here's so-and-so that knows such-and-such. I'm going to have lunch with him or spend time with him or her. And just, you know, prepare yourself. Get a list of questions you want to ask because you can probe into all kinds of things. A simple lunch conversation about the football game, well, you don't want to talk about that in Tennessee, but a casual conversation may not get you anywhere. Just get ready for who you're going to meet and spend time talking about things that will help you become a better leader.
That's right, Joe. And not only in those situations, but also in the people that you hire. Hiring stars as well. Hiring people that surround you in your everyday work environment, in the office complex, whatever it is, role that you're playing, whatever your business is, hiring those people and bringing stars onto your staff, that's really going to help you achieve the vision for your corporation or your ministry or your business if you hire people that are quality, talented, and qualified. And some of them, and it's not hard for some of us, but some of them may be a lot sharper than you in some areas.
The most important decisions leaders make are the selection of the people that we surround ourselves with. And if we surround ourselves with great people, we then have the opportunity to achieve great results. And no decision is more important than that of the selection of somebody we're going to hire or promote. And so I always encourage people to spend as much time and get as many people involved in that process as possible, because when you choose the right people, your opportunities for success are enormous. And if you choose the wrong people, that's just going to drag you down and slow you down.
And the other thing about that leadership and surrounding yourself with stars is not only let them shine, but help them shine. You have to remember, it's not about you. It's not about me. And so honoring them, respecting them, and rewarding them, letting them shine to their fullest potential and help them reach their fullest potential, it's what you're saying, Joe. That's the greatest responsibility of a leader, is to really recognize those people around you and help them develop in their leadership. And when they do shine, giving them the glory for that, giving them the opportunity and respect and the reward and acknowledgement of that, that goes along. I've been in situations and have seen that employees that shine and the leader take all the credit for it, man, that deflates a team quicker than anything. And so when you really honor them for the work that they're doing, they really will appreciate that and shine even brighter for it.
Absolutely. We have a few more questions, but I want to remind everyone that if you're on the phone, *7 to ask a question, or if you're online, enter your question in the box and hit submit. So, Glenn, what's the best advice you yourself received, other than the stay small? And maybe that is the best advice you received.
Well, surrounding myself with good, wonderful leaders and not being afraid to have people that are even smarter than me or wiser than me in any particular area, that was the greatest advice that I've received. And the other one was, in my particular area, which is caregiving with the homeless and the poor. And the other thing was a phrase that I think a lot of people will recognize, but it was that people don't know or don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But that also applies to our employees. And so we can talk about all your degrees, you can talk about all your accomplishments and all of that, but when they really see that you're investing in them and they really see that you're investing in the organization and that you really care about people, again, Joe, like you're saying, people, that's what leadership is all about. When you show that you care about people, then they're going to listen to you. They're going to listen to your heart. They're going to listen to your vision. They're going to listen to the things that are important to you because you have shown that you care. So those are some of the things that I've learned.
Joe?
One of the things that earns leaders the most respect is taking the time to teach and train and develop the people working for you. And I know a lot of leaders think that, well, that's going to take me time and it's going to take me off task and I won't be able to get this done. But in the long term, that's probably the best investment of your time, teaching and developing the people around you, because then they can do it by themselves without you having to look over their shoulder, and they develop respect for you, and they will help you get to your goal more quickly. So there's sort of no downside to the teaching and developing of people. As a matter of fact, when you look at our Leadership Institute and where it came from, it came out of that whole world of developing people at Tractor Supply Company, and one of the keys to Tractor Supply success is that continual development of people. And by putting time and effort into helping people be successful, it there's no downside. There's only upside for you, for the person, and for the organization.
Absolutely.
That's right. There's several things that, as you're saying, that come to my mind. One is a thing I remember when I was working at Mardell and Hobby Lobby was I went in to speak to Mark, the owner of the Mardell stores, and he had all of these different projects that he was working on, and he was very wrapped up in what was going on the desk. And so I asked him if he had a couple moments, and so he said yes and went to his office. He physically took all the papers and the different folders and things that were in front of him on his desk. He folded those up and put those to his side, and so now he had the clear desk, and he put his hands together and looked me straight in the eye and said, how can I help you? And it may seem like a small thing, but that was a huge thing to me, because I knew that he was working on incredibly important things, but he pushed all of that stuff aside physically so I could see that, and then looked at me and said, how can I help you? But really what he said was to me, what he said without saying it was, you are more important to me than these papers. You're more important to me than these things we're working on right now. You have value. I value you. I value what is bothering you or what's important to you, and now I'm going to give you my full time, my total attention. I wasn't talking with him, and he's sitting over here writing notes on something else, and, you know, it wasn't distracted. He moved and cleared his desk and gave me time, and that's very, very important. And as leaders, we need to understand that and invest in people and their time. When they come to us and they look to us for direction and help or whatever it is, we need to stop and look at them and say, you are the most important thing going on right now. How can I help you?
Glenn, that's absolutely fabulous advice. I want to update it for this day and age. Instead of if you push things aside and your computer's still sitting there, it's going to be a distraction. So get out from behind your desk and sit face to face with the person who's coming to talk to you.
Great. Yeah, that's right. Out from behind your desk. You're right. Very good. Very good point.
Before computers and all that stuff, that was a different story. But today, if you got the computer looking at you, it's a distraction and you got to get away from it.
You have to leave it someplace else. Glenn, what are you most proud of from your leadership journey so far?
Actually, most proud of guys come to mind, ladies come to mind that have are running nonprofit ministries now that have come through our ministry and leadership. A guy in Los Angeles, California, there's a program director for an organization called the Dream Center, which came through our organization at City Rescue Mission. Another guy that was actually came to Tennessee before me up in Bristol, to run a rescue mission in Bristol, Tennessee. And I mean, those to see development and people continue to develop their leadership skills that started, you know, working with the homeless, whether it's in Oklahoma City or Nashville, that's the most exciting thing to me, the most rewarding thing to me. Obviously, to see the needs met of the people that we're serving. But then when I see incredible things happen, I see our staff embracing our core values of radical hospitality and extravagant faith and the culture of honor, when I see them embrace that, it's more important to me than meeting budget. I mean, all of those things are important. But when I see our staff embracing the core values and exemplifying that each and every day and then becoming leaders in the organization, that's when I feel satisfied.
Yeah. And I have said to so many people that really a good bottom line is not the goal, it's the result.
That's right.
It's the result of doing all those other things right, and it will come.
We had a situation at the mission a couple of weeks ago where our clothes closet was closed because it's only open on certain hours. And so in the day room, in the men's area, there was a man that had soiled himself in there, and so the clothes closet was closed. So one of our staff members, without any heralding at all, he went home, got his own clothes, and brought it for that man. And that's radical hospitality. That's exemplifying what it is that we're trying to promote there. That's a core value of honor, a culture that we're creating there. And so we recognize that, and we talk about that, and we reward that because that's really stepping up and embracing. And I tell him, you're becoming a leader. You're actually setting the pace for extravagant hospitality right here amongst everybody around you. That's what leaders do. You're influencing people. Leadership is influencing people.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Exactly. And you can lead from anywhere.
Absolutely. And so I told him, I said, you're being a leader. And, you know, he's getting all kind of weepy about it. But, I mean, that's the reality. And so as I see people embracing our core values, I mean, that just really thrills my heart. And again, it's the most important thing we do.
Absolutely, it is. Well, we've had some good conversation. What other thoughts would you like to share with us that maybe I haven't asked you about or something that you just feel compelled to share with us?
Well, I talk about anything. If you haven't had any type of, I think it's important to understand your own personality. I think it's understand the strengths that you have, the weaknesses that you have, as sometimes we're called opportunities for improvement. Maybe you don't like calling weaknesses. But to understand that, there are some fabulous tests out there to really understand what is the root nature of yourself so that you can understand that. I mean, I remember when I took my first leadership test, I was so relieved. Oh, that's why I am the way I am. That's not a bad thing. God made me that way. I'm okay with it. I can deal with it. And then with it brings its own strengths, but it also brings its own areas of weaknesses. So when you realize that, then you can surround yourself with people that are strong in the areas in which you're weak. And so, that would be an incredibly valuable tool that has helped me over the years.
Okay. Star 7 for callers, or enter your question in the box and hit submit. Joe, comments.
Well, I missed the beginning of the call, I have a number of comments to say early on, but as we're talking about this, the whole topic of leadership, it came to me, this is probably a pretty simple thing, but a lot of times people ask the question, are leaders born or are they made? And unequivocally, leaders are made, and the fact that you're on this call today means you're trying to learn how to be a better leader. And it's my opinion that anybody can become a good leader. It's a matter of applying some common sense and just listening and continually learning as we are today. One of the things I wanted to say earlier on, we're in the introducing Glenn, is that Glenn's in a nonprofit arena, and we've not done a lot in terms of our conference calls previously with nonprofits, and maybe none. But the principles of leadership, whether you're in a nonprofit or a for-profit or a government job or a pastor in a church or wherever you are, leadership principles are pretty much the same from place to place. The different actions are different, but the principles are the same. So as we go through these conference calls and classes, you're always learning and your skills are always building. And, I've been around for longer than most anybody else on this call, but I continually am learning about leadership all the time in my life.
Great. I think we have two callers. If you're on, go ahead and ask your question.
This is Sarah from Avondale Partners. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I did it right. I'm well, thank you. Thank you, Glenn, so much. My question for you is, as you reflect on your career, some maybe really hard lessons that were learned, mistakes that were made or failures, and, how you put those in context now, if you're willing to talk about an example.
Oh, well, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. I still make mistakes today. I make mistakes continuing on through leadership. But as I was early on in my career is probably when I made the most critical mistakes. And the one was, and I think I kind of referenced it earlier maybe, was just trying to operate outside of the area of which is my strength. And I thought incorrectly that to be a leader was to be a, for lack of better terms, just to be a dictator, do things my way because I said so. And that was early on in my career, and to begin to find out and have other people speak into my life that there may be times that that's appropriate and necessary, and I still have to do that even today, but that's not my general leadership style. And so that, to understand I caused a lot of dysfunction within my team by being a dictator, and that's the best way to say it, and it didn't function well. So I learned from that real quickly, basically because of rebellion from my staff. I learned real quickly that, that number one, that's not my leadership style. Number two, it's not necessary all the time to work that way. So I need to really hone my leadership and understand I don't want to lead by saying it's my way or the highway. That only gets you so far, and there may be times that that's appropriate, but not all the time, definitely not all the time.
And it's only your ideas then.
Absolutely.
It's you're all by yourself out there.
Right, and I'm really careful how I respond to it because there are times that it is appropriate. But with me, it was more of an arrogance. And there's nothing more there's nothing more ugly to me personally than an arrogant leader. It's not about you. It's not about your agenda. It's all about the people. It's all about the corporation. It's all about the people that you're influencing and serving as a leader. And so to understand that, and I think a lot of that was just youthfulness, but to understand that, it's not about me. I am a servant of the people that work in our company. I told them today in our staff meeting, we have 150 in our staff. I am your servant. I want to lead you, and I want to cast a vision, and I want to serve you so that we can all be the best that we can be.
Glenn, if I can tell a little story. Back early in my career, I had been a bit of a dictator, too, and I've been in line positions in terms of authority. And then I got moved over to being in charge of the personnel department for the company, where you had to go from telling people what to do to convincing them and selling them on your ideas. And it was a real awakening for me, and it changed the way I dealt with people and the way I got things done. But it was a great awakening to go from being a driver and a dictator into being in a leadership role. Farther up the ladder you go, the more of a salesperson you have to be for your ideas and your thoughts and the direction you want to take your organization.
Right. Next caller. All right. If you have a question, star 7 if you're on the phone, online, enter your question and hit submit.
Well, I just saw 10 numbers come in. I think somebody's submitting the lottery number.
It's a big one.
All right. That would be okay, too. So, Joe, closing thoughts.
Well, first I want to thank Glenn very much for coming in and sharing his thoughts with us. I think you're the second CEO in the series, and both have been very different personalities, and we're learning from both. And so we want to thank you very much for your time and your thoughts today. And then I want to mention everybody, next month we're going to be again on the 12th, Thursday, March 12th. We're going to have Bobby Frist with us. Bobby is the CEO and founder of HealthStream, which is a relatively small but very progressive public company right here in Nashville. And so we're looking forward to Bobby with us. So mark that date in your calendar, March 12th. And again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you so much.